From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The centrist establishment wing of the Democratic Party on Tuesday suffered a major upset in two races in New York and Maryland. The most shocking upset of all, that represents perhaps the greatest electoral progressive victory in years, is the unexpected win by 28-year-old Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of the Democratic nomination for New York's District 14 congressional seat. The young Latina and mother of two is part Puerto Rican and campaigned on a strongly progressive platform of Medicare for all, free college tuition, and a federal jobs guarantee. She is a proud member of the Democratic Socialists of America, and she received the endorsement of Senator Bernie Sanders, as well as New York's progressive gubernatorial candidate, Cynthia Nixon. Ocasio-Cortez ousted top Democrat Joe Crowley, who is considered the fourth-ranking highest Democrat in the House, and was potentially going to succeed Nancy Pelosi. Crowley held that seat for 19 years, and no one was more surprised by Ocasio-Cortez's primary win than the victor herself. In Maryland, there was another progressive victory when former NAACP Chairman Ben Jealous won the Democratic nomination for the governor's seat, beating out a moderate Democrat. Jealous will face off against Republican incumbent Governor Larry Hogan, who wasted no time in releasing a negative ad on Wednesday morning. Mr. Jealous was also endorsed by Senator Sanders and by several progressive organizations. We turn to Larry Stafford, Executive Director of Progressive Maryland, to discuss both of these races. Welcome to the program, Larry.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start first with New York and what happened there. As I said, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, her name was not very well known outside New York, and media in their coverage of her candidacy hardly named her, but clearly her campaigning had a huge impact, and she seemed just as shocked as anybody by the fact that she won on Tuesday. What do you make of the fact that she was able to oust not just any Democrat, but a top Democrat?
I think it's absolutely amazing. And though she, you know, may have been less known in New York before running her campaign, she certainly became known to even me here in Maryland, you know, just seeing like the support for her on Twitter and on Facebook and amongst the progressive movement nationally, she was certainly getting some attention. And I think her victory should send a message to Democrats around the country that the status quo and politics as usual within the Democratic Party, it can no longer be. We have to start running on bold visions, bold platforms that actually meet the needs of people in this country in order to win. And the days of just being able to raise corporate dollars from lobbyists and the pharmaceutical industry and Wall Street and spending that money against your opponent, that those days are coming to an end.
And no. President yeah. Donald Trump, of course, who likes to make it all about himself, posted on Twitter that Jeff Crowley lost because of him. He said perhaps he should have been nicer and more respectful to his president, a big Trump hater. Congressman Joe Crowley, who expected was going to take Nancy Pelosi's place, just lost, he said. And what do you make of the fact he didn't even mention, by the way, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez's name?
I mean, he seems to make everything about himself and his own world and his own, like, vision. But that's absolutely ridiculous, obviously. Cortez ran on a platform that was the total opposite of what President Trump stands for. And I think if you look at the numbers, you know, and I haven't had a chance myself, I'm sure that her base of support was not the same base of people that would elect President Donald Trump.
Now, I want to play for you and our audience the video that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's campaign released. It was a 2-minute viral video that really showcases who she is. It's a very personal video, and yet it manages to fold in all of these important progressive issues that are important to voters around the country, and maybe gives a sense of how it was that she pulled this stunning upset over Joe Crowley. Here is the viral ad. It went viral, this ad for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez that may have had a big role in helping her win the election on Tuesday.
Women like me aren't supposed to run for office. I wasn't born to a wealthy or powerful family.
Mother from Puerto Rico, dad from the South Bronx.
I was born in a place where your zip code determines your destiny.
My name is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
I'm an educator, an organizer, a working class New Yorker. I've worked with expectant mothers, I've waited tables and led classrooms. And going into politics wasn't in the plan.
But after 20 years of the same representation, we have to ask, who has New York been changing for? Every day gets harder for working families like mine to get by. The rent gets higher, healthcare covers less, and our income stays the same. It's clear that these changes haven't been for us, and we deserve a champion. It's time to fight for a New York that working families can afford. That's why I'm running for Congress. This race is about people versus money. We've got people, they've got money. It's time we acknowledge that not all Democrats are the same, that a Democrat who takes corporate money, profits off foreclosure, doesn't live here, doesn't send his kids to our schools, doesn't drink our water or breathe our air, cannot possibly represent us. What the Bronx and Queens needs is Medicare for all, tuition-free public college, a federal jobs guarantee, and criminal justice reform. We can do it now. It doesn't take 100 years to do this. It takes political courage. A New York for the many is possible. It's time for one of us. Vote for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on June 26th.
And that is the viral ad that was released by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's campaign ahead of the June 26th primary, in which she beat Representative Joe Crowley, who had held that seat for 19 years. She said in this ad, Larry Stafford, you're the executive director of Progressive Maryland. She said in this ad, this race is about people versus money, and that it takes political courage to get the kinds of things that Americans need and want, such as Medicare for all, free college tuition, and about a federal jobs guarantee and criminal justice reform. How important was it for her to cast it in those terms, that this race is about people versus money?
I think that's very important because the people need to know that you're on their side when you're running for office. And she made that very clear through her campaign by talking about issues that actually impact people's lives on a daily basis. Every day, I'm sure, in her district, from at least what I hear about her district, you know, there are working class people who deal with health struggles, who deal with the potential of sending a child to college and the expense of that, and who deal with unemployment. If we're not talking about bold solutions to these problems, because the problems are bold in and of themselves, you know, if we're not talking about bold solutions to these big problems, then we're not going to be able to win tough races. And she demonstrated how you do that in a campaign.
Now, she was, what's interesting is that the Republican Party did not expect this to be a competitive seat, as was the case among the Democrats as well. And so the Republicans didn't really put up a candidate. A professor by the name of Mr. Pappas, I believe Anthony Pappas, ran for the Republican nomination. He is a It sounds more democratic, more progressive than even a progressive Democrat. But this person has said that he is running on a platform of criminal justice reform, more progressive taxation, and taxing corporations, a kinder and fairer country. And so he is the also first time electoral, first-time candidate running against Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in November. Given how much name recognition she now has, the seat is essentially hers, right?
I would think so. And if he's a Republican running on those types of values, I'd ask why in the world is he still in the Republican Party, given that the party has skewed so far away from those types of values that I think, you know, he should think about changing his party affiliation and running elsewhere.
Now, one of the things that was quite stark for her was that she received the endorsements of both Senator Bernie Sanders and gubernatorial candidate Cynthia Nixon. And by the way, Cynthia Nixon faces her primary in September. New York has this funny thing where they separate their state level and federal level primary races. So on June 26th, you have the state level, the federal races for the congressional districts. And then in September, Cynthia Nixon will face off against Andrew Cuomo for the governor's seat. I'm wondering if you think that Ocasio-Cortez's win, given that Nixon and Ocasio-Cortez essentially endorsed each other and kind of ran on this common platform, whether Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's win on Tuesday is going to boost Nixon's candidacy for the governor's nomination in September.
Well, I definitely hope so, because Cynthia Nixon is running on a similar platform to Cortez in this case, and it seems right that they would be supportive of one another. And I think if anything, it demonstrates with Ocasio-Cortez's victory that Nixon's ideas resonate with voters in New York. And, you know, she should take that as validation. And I believe that voters and others in the state of New York will see that it's certainly possible for Nixon to beat one of the worst corporate Democrats in the country with Andrew Cuomo, who has some of the worst records on progressive issues in the country. And so I think that Nixon should be feeling the wind beneath her wings as she's running into September.
So staying just for one last question on New York before we move to Maryland, the fact that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez ran as an open Democratic Socialist, she's with the group Democratic Socialists of America, DSA, whose membership has exploded in the last couple of years, does that indicate to you a sea change among Americans, among grassroots Americans who are much more open to the idea of socialist programs like the ones we already have, Medicare and Social Security, and the ones that we want, such as Medicare for All?
I think it's definitely a validation of the potential for socialist candidates to win, and the fact that that's no longer such a taboo word in our country. We've gone long past those days. And even near me in Maryland, in Virginia, with the election of Lee Carter in Virginia, it demonstrated this as well. And I believe in Maryland also, we had several Democratic Socialist candidates win state legislative seats as well. So there is a resurgence of socialism, and that's something that I'm very happy about. Because these kinds of programs that actually use the money that, you know, we as taxpayers pay to benefit us, you know, I don't think that's anything that should be scary. And if anything, it's something that people want and need. Like, some of the most popular programs in the country, as you mentioned, are programs that, you know, have that as a part of their core philosophy. And millions and millions of people benefit from Medicare, Social Security, every single day. And we're just talking about making advancements on these types of social safety net programs. So I'm very excited about that fact as well.
And of course, according to those in power, including establishment Democrats like Nancy Pelosi, there's never enough money for these programs, but they will vote with Republicans time after time to fund, overfund our military for wars that are unpopular and cause death and destruction. Let's move to Maryland, your state, where Ben Jealous on Tuesday won the Democratic nomination for governor. Now, Ben Jealous, he's known for being the former, quite fiery head of the NAACP. Tell us a little bit more about who he is, why he received the endorsement of not just Senator Bernie Sanders, but groups like yours.
Well, first and foremost, who Ben Jealous is that he is an organizer. He's an activist. He's someone who has been on the front lines of the struggles for economic and racial justice for his entire life, practically. So he's someone with a lived experience and a demonstrated record of his values. And for us to make the endorsement in the primary, it became very easy for Progressive Maryland and our affiliated organizations within the state to support someone of that kind of background and record. And that's the kind of campaign that he brought together to win this primary, a campaign of a person who had been through the fire of organizing, who has knocked doors, who has talked to voters in this state and connected with the people of this state and their issues and their problems and their aspirations and their dreams, and formed his platform based on that. That's the type of person that he is, and I'm so excited that he's won the nomination to be our next governor.
Now, of course, Jealous faces a much more difficult task in November than Ocasio-Cortez will face in November in New York for her congressional seat, because he is going to be facing off in November against an incumbent Republican governor, Larry Hogan. I want to actually play for you and our audience a 1.5 minute negative ad that Governor Hogan wasted no time in releasing early Wednesday morning. Clearly, he must be considering Mr. Jealous, a formidable opponent. Here is the ad released by Governor Hogan.
Some anonymous Democratic sources high up in the party saying they're concerned about Ben Jealous and his, his expensive program that he wants to put forward could be a bad matchup with the governor. Well, that's not news.
A lot of candidates saying that, you're going to get free tuition, Medicare for all of those things. Folks know that's not the truth, so you got to be honest with them.
Well, let's talk about single payer, because it was attempted in your home state of Vermont, and it didn't work because they couldn't get the funding because it would be too expensive, the Democratic governor said. And then recently it failed in California as well. Democrats, again, not able to come up with a way to pay for it.
People crowded in to listen to Governor Shumlin announce he's not going forward with his original health care plan.
It became clear that the risk of economic shock is too high at this time. Offer a plan that I can responsibly support.
Amendment 69 would fund ColoradoCare with a 10% state income tax, with employers paying two-thirds of that tax. Business groups say it would hurt competition here.
The reality is that some folks will have to find different jobs.
If Ben Jealous is our nominee, Larry Hogan will portray him as a tax and spend Democrat.
Even the Washington Post called Jealous's programs pie in the sky.
Risky is how Larry Hogan portrays Ben Jealous, his Democratic opponent, as in the governor's race this November. My guest is Larry Stafford, Executive Director of Progressive Maryland. Larry, the ad we just played, which was literally released hours after the primary election in Maryland on Tuesday, is a selective editing that attempts to show that Jealous's campaign platforms are, quote, pie in the sky, particularly in the issue of Medicare for All that was tried in states like Vermont and Colorado. There's just no money. They even used the words of the Democrat that Ben Jealous was running against, Rushen Baker, and others to show Ben Jealous is far too extreme, too risky. What do you make of this negative ad?
What I make of this negative ad is that I'm really disappointed that Governor Hogan really is just choosing to go negative at this time in this campaign instead of talking about anything that he's accomplished. And so what he's trying to do here with voters in Maryland is bring up a distraction and just go on the attack immediately, because when you really look into Governor Hogan's record and over the past 4 years that he's been in office, he had certainly, there's no pie in the sky, and we'd all be hungry if we were waiting on it, because he hasn't accomplished much of anything. He hasn't addressed the problems that are critically facing our state today. He has no legislative record that he can speak on. So all he's going to do now, I presume, with the start of this campaign, is just try to run the most negative campaign that he can and attack the vision and the values that Ben Jealous is putting forward as the nominee. However, however, when we look at what Jealous is proposing, these aren't things that are unrealistic. These aren't things that are just pie in the sky. All of this is possible if we reprioritize the resources that we already do have. In terms of Medicare for All, the status quo on healthcare in our state, where there are still far too many people who can't afford treatment and who are sitting in hospital beds, racking up debt as they wait for care, who cannot afford like medicine that they need for their health issues, that status quo is what we should be most concerned about. And we should be concerned about what types of solutions we have on hand to solve these problems, to make sure that everybody has coverage here in Maryland. Healthcare should be a human right.
I mean, you know, when we talk about these bread and butter issues, if you will, with voters, it seems so clear that Americans want and need all of these issues. And yet, when you have those in the establishment have the purse strings of large pots of money that they can use to create slick ads that spin issues so that they are reinterpreted as, that progressive solutions are reinterpreted as harming ordinary Americans, it can unfortunately be all too easy to fool voters. And that happens time and time again, not just by establishment Republicans, but by establishment Democrats as well. So what is Jealous's task now? Because now, between now and November, I'm assuming that the get out the vote efforts are going to have to be pretty strong to ensure that he gets the support and actually wins this governor's race, right?
Yes, and that's exactly what Jealous has to do in this case, is he's just got to take his message to as many voters as possible in our state. And the method that he used to win the nomination, and that's by talking to people directly about the concerns that they have about the future of our state and about the present of our state and what his solutions are to the problems that we face. Mm-hmm. Ben has bold solutions. He has a bold vision for our state, and I think it's nothing that he has to be ashamed about. Larry Hogan does not have that. All he has is naysaying. So, you know, Ben proposes, you know, that a solution for the healthcare problem in our state, or perhaps the opioid epidemic. You know, is Larry Hogan just going to run a campaign just naysaying everything that comes up as a solution because he has no ideas of his own? What is his solution to the healthcare crisis in Maryland? I know that, you know, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen him propose legislation or pass legislation to solve these crises in our state. And it seems like his record over the past 4 years has been a failure. And I think when Maryland voters get a chance to really hear a real vision and a real platform versus naysaying and negativity, they're going to make the right choice, because Maryland is still a progressive state, a 2-to-1 Democratic majority in the state. However, in the gubernatorial elections for, you know, in the past cycle, we just hadn't had the opportunity to elect a Democratic nominee that has a bold enough and exciting enough platform that meets the needs of our state to elect and to excite voters and get them out to the polls. So I believe this cycle is going to be a lot different than the cycle in which Larry Hogan stumbled in to, you know, win the governor's race, in the fact that now he has to contend with Ben Jealous. He can't run the same type of campaign that he feels that he ran against Anthony Brown that was successful, that was just draped in negativity and poking holes in, you know, what the record of the past administration was. Now you actually have to put something on the table. And he has very little to bring to the table in this case. And so I don't think that his campaign is going to be successful as a result of that.
Finally, Larry Stafford, what role do you think issues of racial justice and racial representation played in both the Maryland gubernatorial nomination race and the New York congressional district race? In New York, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez beat out a straight white male incumbent, Joe Crowley. In Maryland, although Mr. Ben Jealous beat another African-American candidate for the nomination, for the Democratic nomination of governor, he faces off against an incumbent white male. Both of the areas, the state of Maryland is quite racially diverse, particularly in some parts of it more than others, and the district that Ocasio-Cortez represents is extremely diverse, racially diverse. Is it important for us to see people that look like ourselves with our skin tone in office, especially when they espouse strongly progressive values?
Well, I think representation is definitely important. Representation can allow, you know, a young child to see someone who looks like them in a position to be able to make changes in the world, and know that they themselves can also perhaps have that opportunity one day and they won't be discriminated against. So that's definitely important. But I think the key factor in these races with Ocasio-Cortez and Ben Jealous is that not only were these people of color, you know, who were running for office and winning in this case, but these are people of color who actually know how to speak to the issues that people of color have. These are people of color who actually have platforms and visions that are conducive with the success of people of color in this country, that can help Black and brown, you know, children grow up to succeed, and Black and brown families to be able to have the ends meet that they need to, you know, to be able to live and make sure that their children's children are okay in the world. And so beyond their racial identities, you know, both candidates really demonstrated that they had the right ideas and the right kind of vision to win their elections. And certainly in Maryland with Ben Jealous, his primary challenger was also an African-American man. And so, you know, and I was very excited to see two, you know, Black men at the top of the ticket in Maryland. However, you saw a distinction in one is not taking any kind of bold stances on issues, had proposed no plan on how to end mass incarceration, and certainly did not, though through his words embraced a $15 minimum wage, did not take the opportunity to do that during his time as county executive, and certainly seemed to portray himself as someone who believed that, you know, moderation was what's necessary to win the race, but also moderation as his philosophy and governance. Ben was the opposite of that, someone who's bold and had the right ideas for the time that we live in. And so he wound up winning out, not just because he was a person of color, but because of what he represents and what he plans to do for Maryland. And so that's what makes me most excited about both candidates in this case.
Now, often theory is that progressives who run on very clear platforms may be more electable coming at it from the left, but that's not always the case. So, you know, in the two stories that we're discussing today, there was victory, but there were losses as well on Tuesday in Colorado. One progressive Democrat that we had interviewed on our program, Syra Rao, lost to Diana DeGette, a longtime incumbent, similar to Joe Crowley, similar to Larry Hogan. But that race, unfortunately, was lost by that progressive who ran on a very bold platform, didn't take corporate money. So it's not always the case that formula is a winning one. And one of the big reasons that establishment Democrats often cite in trying to, when they shut out progressives from these races, is that they feel that those progressives are simply not electable. How do you respond to that? Ocasio-Cortez, because the Republicans didn't put up a strong enough candidate, will likely win in November. Ben Jealous, you know, if he loses that race, the Democrats could say, see, you should have had you should have backed his candidate, although his opponent, that is, although his opponent probably wouldn't have won, be likely to win because he's not offering very much different from the incumbent. So how do you respond to these questions of electability?
Well, I would say, like, races across the country always are decided on a variety of factors. I'm not as familiar with the race in Colorado there, but, you know, there's the platform, there's the money that you need to raise, there's the ground game that you need to be able to organize in order to win an election. And that often can be a determinant in addition to what kind of vision that you're organized around. What I saw with both Ocasio-Cortez's campaign and Ben Jealous's campaign particularly were not just candidates that were talking a great game and espousing progressive values to the public, but they also were able to effectively organize enough money to win and organize enough people to win. And you have to have that kind of power behind you in order to actually win. And it's something that we in our network, People's Action, what we train candidates on all the time, is that your ideas aren't necessarily enough to win, but you have to actually get out there and organize. And I think in the cases where we organize, as well as have our bold message, you know, in many cases we win. But you're never going to have 100% victories in every election, and the establishment definitely doesn't have, a perfect record on wins and losses. And in Maryland, particularly, we've tried it with the corporate establishment candidate in 2014 when Anthony Brown ran as the current lieutenant governor running for the governorship against Larry Hogan. And we tried it with the middle of the road, play it safe politics in Maryland, and that did not succeed. And so with Ben Jealous, we have the opportunity to do something different to take on a challenger like Hogan. Instead of having a mirror match, you know, between, you know, a Democrat and a Republican who largely are saying the same things and not really getting to the meat of the issues, we're going to have an opportunity to have a real contrast with Larry Hogan in November. And I believe through that contrast, when voters have a chance to take a look at one candidate and look at the other, they're going to choose the candidate who actually has solutions to what we face in the state, and who's going to stand up to Donald Trump in the White House, and who's going to make sure that immigrants are protected here in Maryland, make sure that we have a healthcare system that meets the needs of our state, and make sure that we have wages that people can actually live on in our state. And now we'll have that opportunity, of which we have not had in the previous cycle where Hogan beat Anthony Brown. So I think there's a very good shot that Ben Jealous can win, and progressives, if anything, are on a surge and rising in terms of electoral wins in Maryland.
Larry, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Is there a website you'd like to recommend?
Yes, www.progressivemaryland.org. On that website, you can donate as well as join our organization if you live in Maryland. You can sign up to volunteer right through our web portal there.
We'll post links to that website from our website. Thanks so much for joining us today, Larry.
All right, thank you so much.
Larry Stafford is Executive Director of Progressive Maryland, and we've been discussing Tuesday's primary wins for progressives in New York and Maryland. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.